Well, this morning we're going to be wrapping up our Christmas series titled Advent Conspiracy. Okay, it's a series that's kind of been challenging us to rethink how we do Christmas, because the reality is Christmas has become something totally different than what it was intended to be, I think, some 2,000 years ago when Jesus came into this world. And so as we started this series, I shared with you a little story about a group of pastors, four pastors that got together and started talking about how they could do something different in their churches at Christmas, how they could recapture the true heart of what Christmas is all about. And it was out of these conversations that this movement known as Advent Conspiracy came. And as it started with four churches, four pastors, back in 2006, it's grown to thousands of churches worldwide that have joined in this idea, this movement of Advent Conspiracy. And we're one of those churches that have taken on this idea of thinking about Christmas differently. What is Christmas really about? Why do we do the things that we do? And are there things that we're doing that maybe we shouldn't be doing? And on the flip side of that, are there things that we aren't doing at Christmas time that we should be doing? And so we've been focusing on four main topics in this series. Worship fully, spend less, give more, and love all. Now we started off 3 weeks ago with the first one, the idea to worship fully. And as we began that, and each week I've kind of shared with you just the fact that we won't be people who are able to spend less, who are able to give more, who are able to love all, if we aren't learning to worship fully. It starts with worship. Worship to the Lord. Worship to the King of Kings. That's what Christmas is about. And then 2 weeks ago, we talked about spending less. And I challenged us to kind of rethink how we spend money on Christmas this year. Because if you remember, we spend, what was it? Now I'm blanking. $450 billion. That's what it is. $450 billion is what it said on the video. And then when I looked it up, it's $465 billion. That's a lot of money that we spend on Christmas. And so it's rethinking how we spend money on Christmas this year. Instead of just throwing money at gifts, you know, that we would actually think about what we're giving, why we're giving, how we give. And then last week we talked about giving more, and it sounds like an oxymoron, spend less and give more, but I challenged us to think about giving more like Christ did at Christmas. Giving of ourselves, not giving presents, but giving of our presence, right? And the key is the heart in which Jesus gave. His giving was motivated by love. He gave at Christmas because He loves each one of us. Which leads us into this week's topic and God's desire for us to love all. Now, love, it's such an interesting word in our world today, right? In our society. You know, we are fascinated by this thing called love. And we love so many different things in so many different ways. There are so many things that we love. You know, we love chocolate, right? You know, who doesn't love chocolate? We love our sports teams, right? You know, our battles here between the Ducks and the Beavers, you know? We love then our kids and we love our spouses, right? You know, well, hopefully you only have one spouse, but you know what I mean. I'm talking to all of us here. We love our spouse, right? Or those significant others in our life. The key is love is a word that's used in so many different ways. As a matter of fact, if you listen to music at all, it's hard not to hear a song that has the word love in it, especially if you go back to the oldies. I love oldies, okay? If it's, you know, other than Christian music, I love listening to oldies. And if you look at the oldies, there's quite a few of the number one hits throughout the years that have the word love in it. Back in 1956, Elvis wanted to love me tender, right? You remember that song? And then a few years later, he came out with a number one hit titled Can't Help Falling in Love, right? And while Elvis couldn't help falling in love, the Righteous Brothers apparently had lost that loving feeling, right? You never close your eyes anymore when I kiss your lips. Sorry, I recently watched Top Gun. You lost that loving feeling. Then the Supremes, you know, they had a hit that told us what? To stop in the name of love, right? Before you break my heart. The Beatles, they claim that all you need is love, right? All you need is love. And if you grew up watching the Partridge Family, right? They actually had a hit song that said, I think I love you. You remember that one? I think I love you. Da, 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 da. I don't remember the words, but I just remember that part. And then Captain and Tennille. Anyone remember Captain and Tennille? I just remember my sister had a Captain and Tennille song in her wedding. I don't know if it was this one. I think it might have been this one. But they had a song that said, love will keep us together. Love will keep... Doesn't that just sound wonderful? REO Speedwagon vowed to keep on loving you, right? And if you listen to the lyrics, it was the only thing he wanted to do. See, some of these older people, they know the songs, right? Lionel Richie and Diana Ross sang about endless love. While Tina Turner asked the question, what's love got to do with it, right? What's love got to do with it? Sorry. Man, I love these oldies. They get me in. I know I can't sing. But I think when all the oldies, if you take them together and you look at the top hits, I think Foreigner said it best when they sang, I want to know what love is. I want to know what love is. Because isn't that what all of us want to know? What is love? What does it mean to love? And more importantly for today, what does it mean for us to love all? Now, we may all have our own definitions of love. But I don't think or believe personally that we will ever fully understand true love until we've experienced the love of Jesus in our lives. And Christmas is all about Jesus' love. It's all about His love for all mankind. As a matter of fact, that's the theology of Christmas. You've heard me say this before because it seems like we come back to this every year, this reality, this theology of Christmas. The theology of Christmas in a nutshell is this, that God came for the broken and the needy. That's the theology of Christmas. What is Christmas about? It's about Jesus coming for the broken and the needy. He came for the poor. And guess what? That's us. That's you. That's me. We are the poor. We are the broken. We are the needy. You may want to deny it. No, I'm good. The reality is we are all poor and broken and needy. Now, we may be new in Jesus Christ, but it started that way. 2 Corinthians 8:9 tells us this. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you, through His poverty, might become rich. Now don't you love that scripture, right? Because we're going to become rich, man. I can't wait, man. I'm looking for the Ferrari out here soon, right? Now, sometimes when we read that scripture, yeah, that's me. I want to be rich. I want the glories of God. But it doesn't mean that if you come to Jesus that you're going to be guaranteed wealth and riches, okay? At least not the world's ideas of wealth and riches, right? Because we, from the world's perspective, can read that and go, yeah, that's what I want, man. Give me more of that, that prosperity. Come on, bring it. Blessing after blessing. But Jesus came and didn't guarantee us that kind of wealth and riches. This scripture here is talking really about God's grace. It's talking about God's love. It's what He did for us. Jesus left. He left the glories and riches of heaven, right? We can't fully understand that because, you know, we can have thoughts in our mind of what heaven is like, but we won't fully understand it till we're there. Because God talks about it's greater than anything we could ever hope or imagine. It's this wonderful place where there is no hurt, there is no pain, and just the beauty of heaven in itself. And Jesus left the glories and riches of this amazing place called heaven, and He came down into this sin-scarred, broken world so that you and I, who are poor, who are needy, who are broken, could enjoy the riches of a relationship with God the Father, can be once again restored. Whether we want to admit it or not, we are all the poor, the broken, and the needy. It's anyone who is in need of God. And the truth is, that's all of us. We're all in need of God. Without Him, without God, our life really has no meaning. Because He's the only reason that we exist. The only reason we exist is because of the Lord, and it's through Him that we will continue to exist in eternity with Him. The good news of Christmas is that Jesus came for the poor, for the broken, for the needy. And since that's us, it means that Jesus came for each one of us. He came for all of us. And it was because of His love for us that He came. You see, Christmas changed the world. Christmas brought hope. Brought hope to all humanity. Before Jesus came, there wasn't much hope in this world. Christmas brought hope to all humanity. And so the question is, if Christmas changed the world back then, can it still change our world today? Of course it can. Of course it can. Why? Why can it make a difference? Because we live in a fallen world. There is still broken and needy people, and Jesus is still the answer. Jesus is still the hope for all humanity today. The gift that was given some 2,000 years ago is still being offered today to any one of us who are willing to receive it. Like with any gift, right? I can offer someone a gift and they can look at it and go, whatever, it's not big enough to be a car, forget it, or whatever. When we're given a gift, we have to receive it, we have to open it, we have to take hold of it. The gift that was given some 2,000 years ago is still offered to anyone who receives it. But here's the thing. At Christmas time, even earlier in our service, I talked about this. We talk about Emmanuel. Emmanuel, which means God with us. He came to this earth. He walked among us. He was with us in flesh. He was fully God, but fully man. But then if you remember in the Scriptures, if you've been with us, we've been walking through a series in Acts, right? We started last January, and we're still in Acts. Matter of fact, we just took a break for this Christmas series, and in January we'll get back into Acts again. But if you were with us when we started back at the very beginning in January, we talked about Jesus was ascending back into heaven. He was handing off to the torch to the disciples. He ascended into the heavens. He went to be with the Father. And so when we think about that, well, wait, so he's not with us anymore. He's no longer Emmanuel, is he? Does it mean that he's left us? Does it mean that this gift is no longer available to us? And the answer is no, because when he left, he promised us something even better. He promised us the Holy Spirit, who is no longer just with us and among us. He actually lives in us. So you don't have to go find Jesus to have him be with you. The Holy Spirit is always with us. He lives in us. And Jesus has given us the responsibility now with the Holy Spirit in us to now carry out the mission that he started. To now love all in the way that he loved all. It's our turn now as Christians to partner with God and begin to live out this thing called love to those around us in the same way that Jesus did. We all know, I think, the Christmas story in some way or another. And if we fully understand it, we realize how amazing it is. How amazing God's love is for all of us. The fact that he would leave the glories of heaven to come to this place and to experience hurts and pains and ultimately be tortured on a cross for us. We realize how amazing this Christmas story is and what it leads to. But it's not enough for us just to tell the story at Christmas time. We have to do more than just tell the story, the Christmas story. We need to be living out that story in our lives. We need to love all in the way that Christ did each and every day. That's what we're called to do as followers of Christ. To live out Christmas each day. We live in a world that's tired of hearing the talk. Our world has heard Christians talk time and time again. And we live in a time where they're tired of hearing the talk. They want to see people who are serious about walking the walk, about living out the things that we speak about. When we talk about the Scriptures, when we talk about who Jesus is, people want to see us live that same thing, walk it out in our own lives. We need to be walking out the story of Christmas, not just from Thanksgiving to, or for those that start listening in October, okay, to Christmas music, all right? I still don't listen until after Thanksgiving, but Christmas is year-round. That we need to be living it out, not just in that period of time that we celebrate Christmas, that we need to be living out that story every day in our life. And if we go back to the theology of Christmas, what's it about? It's about loving the poor, caring for those in need. That's why we do Adopt-A-Family. That's why Adopt-A-Family is huge for us at Christmas time, because we want to meet the needs of those that are struggling and have needs. Proverbs 14:31 says this: "He who oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God." When we love and care for those in need, the Scriptures tell us that it's as if we're doing it for the Lord. It's honoring God. It brings honor to Him. Matthew 25:40 says this: "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Whatever we do to help those in need, those that are hurting, those that oftentimes others just walk by. Whatever we do for them, we're doing for the Lord. And the fact is, Jesus Himself knows what it's like to be poor. He wasn't born into this place like many thought. When Jesus came, many thought He would become royalty and He would take over the throne and be this great king into this great family. But the fact is, He wasn't born into the Bill Gates family or the Phil Knight family, okay? He was born to Joseph and Mary. And we can tell from the Scriptures that they weren't wealthy. We can actually tell that they were probably poor. And the reason is in Luke, when they presented Jesus in the temple, I've talked about this before, it says that they sacrificed a pair of doves. And it's significant, and that's significant because of this. The custom when the firstborn was consecrated wasn't to sacrifice doves, it was to sacrifice a lamb. That's what they were supposed to do. That is, unless you were too poor to afford a lamb. In that case, it was acceptable to sacrifice two doves or two pigeons. And so we see here, Mary and Joseph, Jesus was born into a family that was poor. The scene in the manger kind of displays this for us. I mean, you know, we say there were no rooms in the inn, but I'll bet you if Mary and Joseph had money, they could have found a place. The reality is they didn't have the money to afford a place. And so Jesus is born in a manger, and the scene in the manger displays that Jesus chose to give up the riches and glories of heaven to enter humanity, to enter it amongst the poor and the needy. And why? Why would He come to earth in this way? I think it's because that's who He came for. He came for the poor, the needy, and the broken. Because of Jesus, Christmas has changed the world, and now He's calling us to do the same. The question I guess we have to ask ourselves is how? How does little old me in Dallas, Oregon, how do I change the world? And I think it starts for each of us by, number one, just opening our eyes. It starts by us being willing to notice the hurt and the broken people that are all around us. You know, it's interesting, as I work with pastors and we work with the Homeless Connect here in this community, the question, you know, there's no homeless people in Dallas. You get that said all the time. Yeah, okay. You just keep believing that. But if we open up our eyes, we'll see that there are a lot of homeless people in Dallas. There are a lot of needy and broken people around us. We have to open up our eyes and be willing to notice those people. It starts by being willing also for us to get outside of our bubbles. Because sometimes we like our nice little comfortable bubbles where we're safe and secure and we don't need to be bothered by anybody else. We've got to get out of those bubbles. It starts by us as a church getting outside the walls of the church and meeting people where they're at. That's why we're so much about giving back to our community. It's not just about what happens here. It's how we can meet people out there. It starts by getting outside the walls. It starts by us living Christmas out on a daily basis. It starts by us learning just to love people, to love all. Now, the fact is that this is a big task. And it can be extremely overwhelming and daunting when you think about, man, how do I change the world? How do I love all? How do I make a difference? And I think it's this way, the same way you eat an elephant. We've heard it, right? How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, right? One bite at a time. How do I make a difference? One person at a time. I like what Mother Teresa said. She says this, if I look at the mass, I will never act, right? I can't help them. If I look at the mass, I will never act. If I look at the one, I will. I will. What if we start by just looking for the one this Christmas? If we start looking for those opportunities that the Lord puts before us, just to help one person. Andy Stanley says this, you've heard me say it time and time again, do for one what you wish you could do for all. How simple is that? If we just started with that concept, doing for one what we wish we could do for all. And I believe as we do that, you know, then maybe we get to help two people or three people and we grow in that. But start off with one. You see, the problem is we oftentimes tend to overcomplicate things. Oh, I got to change the world. So I got to come up with this great, amazing program that's going to like rock the world and the news coverage is going to come and they're going to talk about how we're doing this and that or all these things. We overcomplicate things. And I think it's important that we realize it doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be this big thing. If we all just started off helping one person, I don't know, there's probably about 65 people in here. You know, if we all just help one people, that's 65 people being helped. And if they begin to help one person, then that's 130. Yeah. That's what I thought. And then my head was like, wait, did I miss something there? 130 people. You know, and it expands if we just start with the one. Doesn't have to be complicated. I want to finish by reading Matthew 25, verses 35 and 36. It says this, for I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. I love this scripture because when you look at the scripture, you realize these are practical things we can all do. It's giving someone something to eat. It's giving someone something to drink. I'm not going to go into it, but when I was in the Dream Center with the youth kids in this ministry thing that we would do each spring break, I just remember we were doing these acts of kindness. And they told us that we were going to go out on the street corner and hand out lemonade. And at first I'm like, we're going to do what? Because I'm thinking, okay, if I'm walking down the street and someone's offering me lemonade, am I going to take it? Probably not. What's in the Kool-Aid, right? You know, that's the thought. What's in that Kool-Aid you're giving me? That was my thought, you know. I'm thinking, people, what? Well, when we went out there, we just started saying, hey, would you like a glass of lemonade? Oh, yeah, I'm so thirsty. Thank you so much. And all these people were just blessed. And out of that, I got to connect with this one guy that just, I got a phone call from him like 4 months ago. Hey, Darren, is this you? Are you still pastoring? And I connected with this guy, but it was out of just handing somebody a drink. These are practical things, giving them clothing, helping them when they're sick, visiting them. I think so often we're held back because of the idea that truly making a difference means it has to be something big, some big task that we do. But here's what we got to realize. God isn't asking you or me to change the world. He is the one that will ultimately change the world. What He's asking is for us to change us. It starts with us. We're the only ones that can change us. And if we begin to change us, we can make a difference to those around us. Loving all can happen in very practical ways. And the exciting thing is that if we as Christians, think about this, if all Christians were to truly just start living out the story of Christmas every day, it could change the world. If we start living out the story of Christmas and loving all each day, we might not change the world, but we could change Dallas. We could change our neighborhood. We could change the people around us. And it's because we are being who God has called us to be and doing what God has called us to do, to love all. I encourage you this Christmas season to take time to think about the true meaning of Christmas. Yeah, I love presents. We used to do, you young kids, and I'm going to ruin it for, we used to do the Santa Claus thing with our kids and have fun with that. But we also made sure that they knew that what it was really about was Jesus. It was really about Him. And so I encourage you this season to think about the true meaning of Christmas and the call that we have on all of our lives to continue to live out that meaning, to love all. I encourage you to pray. I've said that throughout this whole series. Pray and seek the Lord. Ask Him to show you what Christmas is about for you and your family. Ask Him to show you, as we talk about loving all, those people He's calling you to love. Because the key in all of this, as I told you, this series, I'm not dumping this series on all of you. God's been stirring this series in my heart for the last 5-6 years, and it's something that's been building and we've been trying to grow upon. But the key is this, as you hear these things, the key is obedience. That we're listening for the Lord, for His voice. What is God calling us to do this Christmas? How do we live out Christmas today for the Lord? We have to listen and be obedient to what He's calling us to do. It could be as simple as giving someone something to drink, visiting someone, giving them food. The simple things that we do in the act of love can change lives. And so let's be challenged as we walk through this Christmas season to open up our eyes and to walk out Christmas, not just until the 25th, but beyond that and through the new year. And as we do what God has called us to do, love all, I believe it's then that we can change the world around us. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I thank You so much for this series, Advent Conspiracy, Lord. Something that I know challenges me each year. What is Christmas about to me, Lord? Is it about the gifts that I receive? And is it about the busyness and going here and there? And is it about me just getting frustrated with Christmas because I can't keep up and all the other things that are going on? Or is it about in the midst of all that experiencing Your peace, in the midst of all that remembering that Christmas is about You? It's about what You did on this earth for all mankind. That You brought hope, that You brought love, that You brought joy, that You brought peace to each of us, Lord, in this season of Christmas. And that what You did 2,000 years ago is still being done today in our lives, Lord. And so, Lord, we want to learn how to worship fully. We want to learn how to spend less and give more in the way that You desire us to. And most importantly, too, Lord, we want to learn to love all. We want to make a difference this Christmas season as we learn to have the spirit of Christmas, the true spirit of Christmas, which came out of Your love for us, Lord. And so as we are reminded of that love that You poured out upon us, may we learn to love in the way that You have called us to love, Lord. As we seek to love You, help us to love people, to love all in a way that sees Your kingdom extended in and through our lives. We thank You for these things. We thank You for this day. May You allow Your word just to penetrate our hearts and to challenge each of us where we're at, Lord. As we walk out of this place, may we not go out the same as when we came, Lord, but may we go out different because of what Your Holy Spirit is doing in each of our lives. We thank You for these things. We give them to You, and we pray them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.